Indoor Cycle Instructor Pro podcast number 72. Welcome to Indoor Cycle Instructor Pro podcast for another audio profile. But this time, I'm going to be the interviewer and John is going to be on the other side as the interviewee. He's been talking to me about this ride that he does, and I think it's time that he share it with you. So John, tell us about your ride.
Thanks, Jennifer. I kind of feel like, how do I feel? Like I'm all of a sudden they dragged me up front of class to to tell everybody what I've learned.
So. Well, it's weird for me to be on this end myself, so.
Well, no, this is kind of exciting, and I'm glad you pushed me to do this because it really caused me to think through, you know, what I would normally, I don't say I make it up as I go because I've done this so many times, it's a very well-structured thing in my head. And yet to actually try to reduce it to paper became quite an exercise. So what I do is I have what I call my Grand Canyon ride. And as a little background of this is I have a bunch of BikeoVision DVDs that I'll play in my class occasionally, especially during my endurance classes. And they're all just scenery. And I actually like them because there's no distraction of a rider or a sprint or a crash or something. And yet, so they just really add to the mood, the ambiance of the class. And the BikeoVision Grand Canyon video, well, I'm watching it one day. I brought back a bunch of memories when I was a kid and we took a trip to the Grand Canyon. And if you've been to the Grand Canyon, you understand something about it.
It's
huge. And this road along it is a couple hundred miles long. And yet at any point you can walk up and right off the edge. You know, there's very little in the way of guardrails around it. So watching this video, I came up with an idea of how you can use kind of standing at the edge of something you're afraid of, fear of falling, heights, is a good way or a good metaphor to describe threshold. The feeling should be that there's great discomfort ahead of you, great relief behind you, but you walk up to it and you stay there. And so I have over time developed this ride that we're going to do today. Again, I call it my Grand Canyon ride. What I list as the objective, following your format, is to help you communicate the feeling that is threshold, that distinct physiological change as your level of exertion nears threshold, meaning that you're moving from primarily aerobic to more primarily anaerobic effort. I have this set up as either a 60 or a 90-minute class. It is one long 30-minute interval.
That's long.
At threshold. It is long.
It's a challenging ride, but it sounds... I love imagery, so...
Exactly.
Exciting.
And it is definitely... And I've got, depending on the length of time, and this isn't so tightly structured that our pro members are going to have difficulty with it. If you only have time for 28 minutes or 26 minutes, that's just fine. The idea is that you bring them to threshold and you hold them there. And I do it based on... kind of a story, but first I'm going to start with, here's your warm-up. And it's important that the students are very warm and fully aerobic, meaning that we've broken through that and the breathing has calmed and we're starting to work at a much higher level. Everyone's started to sweat and ready to work. In my 60-minute or 90-minute class, that is a process for me is typically 20 minutes where, we start out slowly, but then you start adding these rolling hills while we continuously add load. So what happens is that the climb is actually the relief because the backside we're doing under load, but with higher pedal speed with the intent of elevating your heart rate. And we do this over and over and over again until we're starting, as I would describe, as to kiss threshold. Then at no time do I ask them to remove or reduce the load that they're carrying. The idea is to simplify it in such a way that it becomes easy to communicate, but at the same time we start working really on muscular endurance, which is what I call the four components of endurance. The first one being cardiovascular endurance, the second being muscular.
And what are the other two?
The other two being, mental endurance, maintaining focus. And that's something that over 30 minutes becomes quite a challenge.
Yes.
And because we do it seated, then saddle endurance, which I throw in there more as a joke.
That's a great one. So you do the entire ride seated or just that 30-minute segment?
Just that 30 minutes, correct. When I talk about classes where I try to ask everyone to maintain load continuously, the recoveries that I use are what I call like a standing recovery under load, where we slow our pedals, which helps to lower your heart rate. But we have no trouble remembering where we were as soon as we sit again and go back to the cadence that we're normally pedaling at. You know, our intensity tends to go right back to it without a lot of fiddling. You know, where was I? That type of thing. The ride is based on a story that I tell. And I start telling the story during the warm-up while I'm watching this video. Now, it will probably be easier if you have a video that's showing the Grand Canyon or some other area. But if not...
Maybe you can just get some pictures from a magazine or online.
Certainly. Yep. Or just start asking the question like I do. Who's been to the Grand Canyon before? And at least when I was growing up as a kid, it seemed like every family took one pilgrimage.
Yeah, I think so. We went there. Loaded up in a motorhome. Four kids in the yellow station wagon.
And so I asked them that question, and you get some saying yes, some saying no. But obviously everyone knows what the Grand Canyon is. They've all seen a picture of it. They know it's a very vast canyon with sheer cliff walls and just incredible beauty.
Our European and other non-American listeners might want to pick a similar canyon. A lot of other countries have, deep crevasses.
Okay. Well, and I appreciate you reminding me of that. Thank you.
But I'm sure they have seen pictures of the Grand Canyon and can imagine what it feels like to stand over the edge.
Then the next question I ask them, or the statement I'll make, is that if you've been to the Grand Canyon before, it's also helpful with this video because there's all these little turnabout where you can just pull over viewing areas. You can pull over off your bike or your car, look out, and get back in, drive a couple more miles, view again. But I describe it as a place that is not really safe for rambunctious young children. Because again, there are no guardrails. The majority of
our rambunctious students.
But you can literally walk right up to and over the edge. And so, you get that kind of going. And then you start talking about, what are the fears that you have? Ask the question, are you fearful of heights? And I don't know anyone who doesn't have some fear of heights. Then I ask the question is, how would you feel being there at the Grand Canyon and slowly walk up to the edge? And then I ask them to close their eyes and actually mentally do it and notice the feeling you have as you get closer and closer and you realize that in front of you is this great discomfort, behind you much comfort. And the closer you get, the more potential discomfort you're feeling. And again, that being the feeling that we're trying to convey to our students as to what that feeling of threshold is. It is not an easy thing. It is not a part where you're happily chatting with your neighbor or mindlessly looking around the room. It is a place where you are very focused. It's at that point where I explain to them is that, this place, this edge of the Grand Canyon is where we're going. Together, we're going to walk up to the edge and we're going to stand there for 30 minutes. 30 minutes at threshold of great discomfort ahead, great relief behind.
Do you ever get anyone who is rolls their eyes and goes, oh my God, I can't make it 30 minutes?
What I'm trying to offer is not an end-all because everyone has their own personality and you really have to look at it. But the one thing I've always said to my class is that for you to have the courage to come in here conveys to me the confidence that whatever we're going to do today, you can do. And it's up to you to prove me wrong.
Well, that's a great way to challenge them.
The idea becomes, we're going to go there, but we're going to go there together. And this goes back to one of our other interviews we had, Jennifer, where I asked you permission to take the class with the class. And that I think it's very important in this ride that the instructor is there. So you're experiencing the same thing that your class is experiencing. Now, obviously, the expectation is that you're probably in as good, if not better, shape than the majority of your participants so that you can remain aware of situationally what's going on in your class while you're there. But it is important that you're there so that you're not talking about things that they can't feel or see or do.
I agree, and especially threshold is sustainable. I mean, you can talk there. We're not going to talk like you and I are talking, but you can ride there and talk to your students.
after the 20 minutes, we've been adding load continually through the class. So you've gotten to the point where you've got a pretty steep, stiff headwind or a gradual climb in front of you. You've been up near threshold briefly for a number of times. And then for the last couple of minutes of this warm-up, I'm going to have them stand under load and soft pedal recover, meaning that you worked hard, but now we've slowed the pedals. And then we can sit, keep our pedal speed slow, towel off, get a drink, and be prepared. Now, the 30-minute interval, it's important to you that the instructor understand that through this 30 minutes, less is best. And now, if you've read some of Dr. Haley Perlis's articles on indoorcycleinstructor.com/pro, you've read her article about KISS and what she describes as keep it simple and specific. And that's what I'm going to offer you as a way to communicate at a very minimum level throughout this 30-minute interval. I tell my class that we're going to focus on three things while we're standing at the edge of this canyon. What I describe as smooth, solid, and strong. Or more specifically, I want you to look smooth, solid, and strong. I convey to the class what I mean by smooth is that your pedal stroke is balanced. So it has a very little disruptive effect on your upper body, which becomes relatively solid. Your posture, and this is something that I go after them class after class, is that your posture demonstrates or displays how strong you are. Your back is flat, your shoulders are down and relaxed. Very little conveys your effort to someone looking from the outside. You know, as I tell my class, only you and your heart rate monitor know how hard you're working.
I love that.
Right.
I love it.
Because I'm not into the posers.
Exactly. And you know what? You look at some of the best athletes, too, and, you know, they're not grimacing except maybe in the sprint finish. But, you know, during the actual effort, their focus is, their countenance is just, like you say, smooth, solid, and strong.
Correct. And, you know, riding in a competitive atmosphere, which I did for a number of years, it's a lot of ego. It's a lot of who's strong and who's not. Just before the sprint, you know, who's demonstrating or showing weakness. And there was a great rope-a-dope that Lance Armstrong pulled in one of the tours. I don't remember the particulars. You might remember. But he kind of feigned.
The look?
He feigned like he was really just toast.
Yeah.
And then jumped up out of the saddle and smoked everybody.
Yeah, I think I think that's when he threw the look, is like after they thought he was
exactly. Exactly. So that's really what we're trying to do. We start 15 feet back from the edge, about 10% below your threshold, and understanding that at that level of intensity, you know, most any of us could stand there all day. You can see the discomfort ahead, but it's too far for you to cause any concern. Every 30 seconds, you have them step a few feet closer, adding two or three beats, or just a slight increase in intensity. You may get this by having your students add just a little more load, a little more leg speed, but reminding them, whatever they add, they're going to be maintaining for the 30 minutes. And so over the 3 or 4 minutes, we should walk to within a foot or so of that edge.
So would you say that some of the class might be more on a hill and some actually might even be more on a flat road because they've chosen cadence as their means of increasing?
Yeah, and I try to leave that as open as possible. I used to try to teach it where I taught a couple times where I used a set cadence of music through the whole thing to try to get them to force them. And yet some, you just look out and some of them are diesels and some of them are Ferraris, you know, as I would describe it. Some are slow, some are fast. So then I just to the point where, the listener has to understand that I teach for Lifetime Fitness and we are very heavily invested in heart rate training. So in a typical class that I'm going to teach, 80% plus are monitoring, which may be very different than a lot of the other listeners, you know, where we're talking about just how it feels. Over the next 3 or 4 minutes, we should have walked within a few feet of the edge. And as I expressed earlier, I feel strongly that you are there with them. You know, you are coaching them But at the same time, don't be afraid to be quiet. And I know this is difficult for a lot of instructors, but once you set the stage, you know, get them thinking about where they're at. You know, don't feel compelled to be jabbering. Matter of fact, it's probably counterproductive. Every few minutes, so we're, say, 6-8 minutes into this 30-minute interval, have them shuffle forward just a few more inches. And then again, I remind them, head up, smooth, solid, and strong. With your head up, you can describe what it is you see around. You know, it's the rocks, it's the cliffs on the opposite side, it might be the Colorado River below, there might be a bird or an eagle soaring. You have the ultimate in discomfort ahead of you. But after about 10 minutes of this, you've lost a lot of your fear. You're comfortable here. We're going to step forward a couple more inches. Again, you remind them, head up. You are strong. You are smooth. You are very solid. I talk to them about, what if someone was watching you? What would they see? Would they see confidence? Would they see fear? Or would you be demonstrating that you're relaxed at this point? You know, would you be causing the person watching you to look at you with some envy and think, oh my gosh, how can this person do this? Now, the last 5 minutes, I want you to ask your class to shuffle forward just a little further and actually wrap your toes over the edge and look straight down and see nothing and recognizing you're okay. Because at this point, you've gone 25 minutes. For many of your students, they're really enjoying this. And yet, they look down and they see nothing but air and then the rocks way below. This interval ends when you hear the slamming of a car door behind you. You realize how vulnerable you are standing there. And as long as you were alone, you were okay. But you take a few steps back and stand there with your head up, looking very strong, and marveling at what you've just accomplished. You can, as the instructor, add a bonus to this, and that I would do in a 90-minute class, where I would have them standing, soft pedal recovering for a couple of minutes, maybe have a seat, a drink, towel off. But then I start telling a story of that person in the car that came up behind them. You look to your right, and that person is standing there, having marveled after seeing what you were doing. And you can see in them that they would like to do the same thing. And what I want you to do as a student is to take what you've just learned, the confidence that you have developed being able to do this, and help this other person do it. Think about what your fear was, the difficulty you had. Kind of look at this person next to you, realizing that they have those exact same fears. And I want you to encourage them as to doing the same thing. Now, how you describe this is going to really depend on your own personality. But the idea is fundamentally this, is that you take what you learned and help teach it to others. And so I'll tell the story of, you know, assisting this person, encouraging them, you know, let's get a little closer. And then you stand there with them. And then while they continue to stand there, you will take a few steps back. And the idea is that we add another 2 or 3 minute interval at threshold, and then we step back from it. Then for the remainder of the class, and depending on how you structure this, you may have, say, 10 or 15 minutes left. Then we spend a lot of time in that aerobic zone, where people are going to be a little more chatty. And you'll find in this instance, because they were very focused, they may stay quiet for a while, but then all those ideas will start bubbling up. And I would encourage them at that point to be okay with, you know, complimenting or conveying to those around them. And then we obviously just kind of take it till we get to the end.
That's amazing. I while you were describing it right here, I was picturing that. I mean, I was seeing myself, and I am very You know, I love to rock climb, but that's because you don't really have to look down. You just look up. It's when I have to look down that I'm go over the
that's
edge,
right.
So to speak. So I love the visuals, and I think that would be just a great way to encourage people not to encourage, but to help them understand that feeling is, yeah, you're challenged, but you can do it. You don't feel like you have to stop right away. You can push yourself. Everyone is capable, probably, of doing more than they thought they could do.
Well, and I hope you found this of value, and I'd be looking to hear your comments. Once you've had a chance to listen to this, give some of your own thought to it. Maybe you have a chance to teach it. Love to know what you think of it. John at indoorcycleinstructor.com.